WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. Police in Kentucky are still searching for a motive in a shooting that left two people dead at a church service. Two other victims were shot on church grounds. Both are in the hospital. One is in critical condition. Police shot and killed the suspect. The wildfire threat is growing around the Grand Canyon. ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Hot and dry conditions fueling two blazes in the Grand Canyon and destroying between 50 to 80 structures, including a historic North Rim Lodge. Together, the fire's burning more than 45,000 acres. And wildfires in Canada also pushing smoke into parts of the Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan under air quality alerts.
President Donald Trump says he's considering granting Ukraine's request for more air defense weaponry, speaking to reporters at Joint Base Andrews.
We will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
NATO's Secretary General will be in Washington this week to discuss the war between Russia and Ukraine. This is ABC News. Nearly 2 weeks after a deadly firework warehouse explosion in Northern California, families of the victims are waiting on the fire marshal's report.
More than grief at a vigil near the warehouse site in Yolo County, California. Determination.
I want people to know that we will not forget this, and we will find justice.
Seven people died in the fireworks explosions and fire, including a friend of Darlene Sanchez.
Make sure that you tell the people that you love them, because at the end of the day, tomorrow is not promised to no one.
CAL FIRE says one of the red flags to check is whether the warehouse had necessary licenses and permits.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. Hitting the auction block later this week is something that hit Earth. A meteorite from Mars.
We are selling the largest piece of Mars on Earth. This is a massive 54-pound Martian meteorite that landed in the middle of the Sahara Desert.
Cassandra Hatton is with Sotheby's in New York. I'm Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds, because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers sweep the Nationals. I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Nationals 8-1. Jackson Churio with a three-run homer in the eighth, followed by a solo home run shot back-to-back from Bryce Terang. Freddie Peralta went 6 2/3 innings, allowing just one run. He's now 11-4 for the season. The crew heads into the All-Star break with a seven-game winning streak. They're 56-40, one game behind the first-place Cubs, who beat the Yankees to take that series 2-1 in the Bronx. Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick went after a foul ball in today's game, made a sliding catch, but may have suffered a hamstring injury in his left leg. Manager Pat Murphy says he'll undergo an MRI. The All-Star game is Tuesday. The Brewers' Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski will represent the crew. The baseball draft getting underway tonight. The Brewers with the 20th overall pick. NBA, the Bucks reportedly will sign guard Cole Anthony, who's receiving a buyout from the Memphis Grizzlies. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, upper 80s on your Monday. The heat index pushes over 90. For Monday night, mostly clear, a low around 68. Sunshine, upper 80s on your Tuesday. Some showers and thunderstorms by Tuesday night.
Right now, 71 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, The Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think it speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. And TGIF. It is 5 o'clock. I hope you are cracking an adult beverage somewhere, whatever your preferred beverage is to quaff on a steamy Friday afternoon. I'll be heading to the ballpark this evening with a bunch of friends to watch the Brewers take on the Nationals. I hope you got your texts in last hour in the free Ticket Friday giveaways that we've got here throughout the summer here on Civic Media Radio Network. If you missed out on your chance this past hour, don't worry. We'll be doing it again next Friday. Some breaking news right at the top of the hour. There are reports coming from Eyewitness News, an NBC affiliate out of New York, that armed ICE agents apparently raided a baseball practice in New York, a kids' baseball practice in New York, and tried to begin to interrogate kids playing baseball who are, according to their coach, all American citizens. When the coach tried to intervene, asserting their, quote, constitutional rights, apparently the coach was then harassed and threatened with arrest. Again, that is just breaking news. I'm not sure if all those details are correct. Reports just coming in this afternoon about this. Oh, it is distressing. I'm so glad to have you here. We got my colleague from the northern parts of the state, Greg Gunderson, here for this installment of What's Going On in Your Neck of the Woods. Welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, Greg.
Thank you, Maggie. Thank you for having me. So glad to be here. And I'm afraid all of this wonderful news reaches the Northwoods. So right now what's going on in the Northwoods is anxiety. But I've got some fun stuff that I can bring you to. But yeah, I was just looking at news. The Border Czar confirms that anybody can be detained without probable cause for reasons including appearance. Now,
yes.
So
and Gray,
that's,
I'm just
that's
gonna,
not scary at all.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask you to turn your camera off because you're glitching just a little bit. And hopefully if we go all audio, we won't have Gray glitching. And if you continue to do that and Jacob or I boot you from the show, just give us a call on the old, you know, the traditional phone lines. Gray, I wanted you here today to ask you what your impressions are. And we're working to get Gray back right now to talk with Gray about what his impressions of his fellow Northwoodsers' opinions of both the state's biennial budget, as well as, of course, the big, brutal bill. With rural hospitals on the chopping block, with general practitioner care at risk in more rural communities, are folks that live in and around where Gray lives concerned about those things? I think it's really critical. In addition, the key of agricultural and manufacturing, those two massive keys to Wisconsin's economy, are folks expressing anxiety about Donald Trump's renewed tariff wars. Again, we haven't seen the full weight of those tariffs yet brought to bear here in Wisconsin. Are people feeling anxiety about that? I believe we've got Gray on the phone lines now. Welcome back, Gray. I wanted to start with what folks in your neck of the woods are saying about both the big brutal bill and the biennial budget. Let's start with the big brutal bill. Some of the people that we've had on over the past few weeks and months in the lead up to this single largest wealth transfer from working people to the billionaire and hundred billionaire and mega corporation class in America's history, people have expressed particular concerns over whether or not, you know, folks are going to be, if nursing homes are going to remain open in rural communities, if hospitals are going to remain open in rural communities, if folks are going to be able to access health care. What have you been hearing, Gray, in your neck of the woods from people about the big brutal bill? Any concerns, all gung-ho, or a mixed bag?
We're all gung-ho. And just real quickly, Maggie, can you guys hear me all right now?
Yes, you're good to go.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I'm afraid, as one might expect, it is a certain level of all gung-ho simply because I really don't want to knock people in the way it sounds like I am. So please be clear that I'm picking my words specifically. I think that people were very prepared for this, as in the Trump administration prepared people for a move like this and for people to take it on faith. Why? Because there are very real implications for all kinds of services in our area, but that's not the basis of the response. The basis of the response is Donald Trump did it again, and the liberals are still sad, crying. You check the liberal tears. If it's raining liberal tears, then we're winning. And that's generally the limit of it.
Gray, I'm curious because at some point in time, like the rhetoric and the liberal tears, don't fill anybody's belly, right? That doesn't get you health care. It doesn't lead to real wage increases. It just feels good because you're, you know, flipping the metaphoric bird to people you think you don't like and don't have much in common with.
Right.
Is there any concern with real world impacts? Is anybody talking about that?
Not quite yet, but I'm seeing more frequency in the level of concern. I'm not seeing people generally getting more anxious about this, but as more services are affected, you're seeing a couple quiet voices get a little bit louder. It's just so indirect. There's no unification. I mean, yes, there are absolutely 150 people in this 10,000 person county who are affected, and they could make change about that. But they are not unified. They are not organized. They are not standing together as a group saying, hey, we are the ones. And so without that visibility, it's easy for me as a normal person here in Price County, Wisconsin, to pretend there are no ones. There's nobody here who's, you know, I'm checking, I'm holding my litmus paper up, and it's blue, baby. I'm good because I'm not going into the spaces where I would entertain that kind of conversation in the first place. So, yes, if I'm the average citizen, I'm concerned. I may be thinking about those sorts of things, but I'm not interested in checking any of the places I'd actually see evidence of issues. But I will say, as somebody up here,
let me just jump in here, Gray, a bit. Are you saying that people are sort of self-selecting into environments where they don't hear contrary opinions or folks expressing things that don't align with what their presupposed view is or their current view? Is that basically what you're saying?
Generally, yeah. Yeah, basically, it's that we don't check the details because what we think is happening must be happening.
Yeah. And Gray, I'm curious about that because, again, like both things can't be true, right? Derek Van Orten says nobody who is eligible for Medicaid is going to lose Medicaid. But we know that people who are eligible for Medicaid are going to lose their health care coverage because of the cuts to Medicaid. because of the nearly $1 trillion reduction in funding that was directed by the big brutal bill, there will be fewer rural hospitals. These are just facts. That's how math works. My curiosity is that, do you hear any scintilla of, well, I'm going to be saying these things, or are you getting any sort of sensibility, Gray, that people will continue to defend their long-held, say, support of Donald Trump, or their long-held beliefs, or that they may put out there that, yep, we think this is going to go really well, but folks might be, you know, doing a little bit more homework, right? That they might be poking around on the internet just a little bit more.
Because I kind of believe so. You see it, but again, they're not unified. So it just, what?
Who's the they? They're not unified. When you say they, I don't know who you mean. Who's not unified?
So, like a theoretical small towner here who might have their opinion changed because to them, that's probably the best way to explain it. The cynical changed mind, or the theoretical person who's being affected in a way that would change minds. You know, it's not every member of the group that goes to golf on Saturday that's bringing the same thing to the discussion. But there's a couple people scattered about, may or may not be affected. And forgive me, it's a collection of just little snippets, tidbits here and there. But it's just that I've heard it mentioned more than before, and it's just that there's not.
Heard what mentioned more than before? I'm going to push you here, Gray, because are you saying that more individuals within their groups of friends are expressing some bit of doubt? Again, try to be as specific as you can so folks can understand, are these discussions happening and they're just, I don't know, sort of burgeoning and growing? Who are you speaking about?
I think it's fair to say that there are probably more questions being asked than statements being made. But again, I don't place myself in these circles directly. I don't spend most of my time in that way. But in looking at this, I found that there's more openness. I guess I have no hard fact that I can bring you. So really, it's just I don't know. It doesn't feel the same up here, Maggie. That might be the most that I can tell you. And I feel like my Facebook posts that used to get me those looks don't anymore. You know, there's a general trend that, yeah, there might actually be some people who might actually be pissed at the guy they loved before. Has anybody come out and said, hey, I'm with you, and I wasn't? No, but at the same time, there's, I don't know, it'd be a feeling from some fool who does too much radio, but I don't know.
That's the vibe. To me, I think when you start to have the sixth sense that people who know your politics may not be quite as angry at you as they used to be, that's part of the vibe check. That's part of the barometer. Let's talk a little bit about something that's not politics, Gray. Tell folks the Lumberjack World Championships are up in Hayward starting next Wednesday. What should people know?
That's something I can actually speak to quite confidently, Maggie. We're talking trees here. And actually, the Hayward Lumberjack Championships, like I put in the notes, if you want to see one of the most ridiculous displays of athleticism, mostly unchanged from the alcohol-fueled wagers that absolutely were its origin, kind of similar to the Berkey and to Muskie Fest, check out the Lumberjack Championships. They start next Wednesday in Hayward. Tie some spikes to your shoes and climb a tree as fast as you can. It's way faster than you think. Okay, now what if you want to climb it with no spikes, but you've got an axe and a board? How do you use a board to climb a tree? That's a question that you'll answer more enthusiastically than you could ever believe. I mean, like, you're wedging the board in notches that you chop as you climb.
So I was going to say, having not seen that, right, I would assume axe to tree, insert board, step on board, whack with axe, and you kind of, like, go around the tree almost in a spiral pattern. That's the only way I could noodle out how to do that.
You, Maggie, I'm afraid you almost sound like we sandbagged that one. You kind of described it perfectly. So I hope you feel some validation there. You would make an excellent improvisational springboard climber, or at least in theory.
Listen, with my knees and ankles and hips with all the sports injuries, I'm going to keep my 2 feet planted firmly here on the ground. Thanks so much to Greg Gunderson for this week's installment of Your Neck of the Woods. Keep it locked. When we come back, we're going to kick off this Friday's Ask Maggie. You can ask me, gosh darn well, near anything you want. Put in your questions now, 855-752-4842. We'll be back with Ask Maggie right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wiss.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday to one and all. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, we've had some vacations. We had the July 4th holiday, and it's been a while since we've done a bit of Ask Maggie. Ask Maggie is a segment we have usually every Friday where you, the listeners, get to email in or text in any question you've got for me. You can email those at any time to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also use that email address for topic suggestions, complaints, and the rare compliment. We'll take them there as well. That's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. You can also text in questions at 855-752-4842. My senior producer, Jamie, curates these, and I have no idea what I'm going to be asked, which is half the fun. The other half of the fun, aside from whether or not I actually give a good answer, is that Jamie will put me on a timer. Because y'all know I like to talk. So we put me on a timer and I try to constrain my answers to the allotted amount of time with varying degrees of success. Welcome back to the show, Jamie. Thanks for being here.
Thank you and happy Friday. Now, happy Friday. Feels like we haven't done this segment for a really long time, but you and I talk so often that we were just talking earlier today. So, yes, it is what it is.
You and I, yes, probably.
We do a lot of planning.
probably more than anyone in our lives wants us to. You and I are on the horn all day long, every day. So it is with live broadcasts. That's
we try to take a break. We try to take a break. And then on the rare occasion, like last night when I had to call you, I was like, oh, I don't want to bother because, oh, we've had like all these conversations. So we try to take a break. I do have to say, though, do you know what my favorite part about Ask Maggie is when I curate the list? Like you say, I so eloquently do. And really, it's just a flurry at the very, like at 3:30 going, oh my gosh, I have this segment today because I've been working so hard on everything else. That's what we'll go with. I can always tell the mood of people based on
the questions
that we're getting in. Yeah. So this week, there seems to be a little bit of angst just because of everything going on. And rightly so. I'm not saying that we're wrong in those emotions or right in those emotions. I can always just kind of tell as I put this list together. So that's my big takeaway. That's all I got for a Friday. That's the most intelligent thing you're going to hear me say today.
Well, Jamie's got, you've got a metaphoric finger in the air of where people are at based on the sorts of questions that they're
absolutely
asking. Again, you want to get your questions in 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Well, let's get her cranking, Jamie. You got some questions
for
me?
Should we play our intro? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, Jacob, when you're ready, hit that intro because it's my favorite part.
It's time to get your questions answered, Wisconsin style. Welcome to Ask Maggie, a rapid-fire round from politics to pop culture. So buckle up, Buttercup. It's Ask Maggie, and we're about to take your questions at lightning speed.
Or something like that. That's how that should end.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Sort of lightning speed, slower than lightning. We'll give it a good try.
We'll give it a good shot. Well, let's start out with Cam. You know, we love Cam. Cam, you're fantastic. And we're going to help him out here today because he asked Maggie this question. Fish tacos or curry? His partner wants to know what's coming for dinner tonight. So we'll give you, I know you're a foodie. So let's give you 30 seconds on this because I'm sure there are opinions on tacos and curry. So whenever you're ready, Jacob, 30 seconds.
Is there a protein with the curry or is it just a curry? Do you have a rice maker or are you going to have to make the rice on the stovetop? Inquiring minds want to know, do you have a deep fryer? What kind of fish do you have? Was it fresh? Do you have to bone the fish? Cam, I can't answer the question with that limited set of information, but assuming all of the utensils and things and fresh fish, I think I'm going to have to go with a Friday fish taco because in Wisconsin, we like fish on Fridays.
I think that's an appropriate answer. It's like your version of the fish fry at home.
Yes.
See?
Summer version.
That's right. Serve up now, the old-fashioned with it. Now we're talking.
I have a little secret giveaway for Cam and his partner if they decide to go with the fish tacos. If you take a little bit of crema or sour cream and you add just a little bit of curry to it, it actually is an excellent topping on fish tacos. So in this way, Cam and your partner, you're going to get the best of both worlds. I'm going to go with C, both of the above. You make the curry sour cream, little dabble do you on the fish tacos, and then you got both curry and fish tacos. There you go.
Hopefully that helps him out. And he says it's tilapia, no bone. And rice maker
perfect.
And chicken. All right.
Perfect.
So I think we've got it figured out. You can make a little bit of everything and have a smorgasbord too. It's fine.
I love it. 855-752-4842. You can call or text in questions and email them to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I think we got time for at least one more.
I think so. We'll go another fun one because I see Jacob giving us the sign here that we've got to get to a break in a moment. So we'll go with an easy one. We can do a 30-seconder on this one as well. This is coming to us from Robert in McFarland. Thank you for the question. He wants to know, Maggie, have you ever taken the Lakefront Brewery Tour? And if so, how was it? 30 seconds for this one.
Schmeisel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated. Of course I've been on the Lakefront Brewery Tour. What kind of Milwaukeean would I be if I hadn't been on the Lakefront Tour? Probably more times than I care to admit. And of course the Laverne and Shirley reference is because they do have the beer line made famous from the introductory music and all that stuff from Laverne and Shirley, where she puts the little glove on the beer bottle and it roll and it swings on by. They've got that on the Lakefront tour. I also want to give a shout out to Lakefront because they have absolutely fabulous drag queen bingo nights, which are hilarious. I go to a bunch of them, especially in the winter months. Love me some Lakefront Brewery. River West Stein, delicious, delicious beverage from Lakefront. We're going to take care of a little bit of business. You can get yourself your adult beverage or other preferred thing to quaff for this last half hour of the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. Ask Maggie continues, and we got Terry Barr coming up next.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubosky. Police in Kentucky are still searching for a motive in a shooting that left two people dead at a church service. Two other victims were shot on church grounds. Both are in the hospital. One is in critical condition. Police shot and killed the suspect. The wildfire threat is growing around the Grand Canyon. ABC's Jacqueline Lee.
Hot and dry conditions fueling two blazes in the Grand Canyon and destroying between 50 to 80 structures, including a historic North Rim Lodge. Together, the fires burning more than 45,000 acres. And wildfires in Canada also pushing smoke into parts of the Midwest, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan under air quality alerts.
President Donald Trump says he's considering granting Ukraine's request for more air defense weaponry, speaking to reporters at Joint Base Andrews.
We will send them Patriots, which they desperately need.
NATO's Secretary General will be in Washington this week to discuss the war between Russia and Ukraine. This is ABC News.
The Brewers sweep the Nationals. I'm Mike Clemens with sports from American Family Field, where the Brewers beat the Nationals 8-1. Jackson Churio with a three-run homer in the eighth, followed by a solo home run shot back-to-back from Bryce Tarang. Freddy Peralta went 6 2/3 innings, allowing just one run. He's now 11-4 for the season. The crew heads into the All-Star break with a seven-game winning streak. They're 56-40, one game behind the first-place Cubs, who beat the Yankees to take that series 2-1 in the Bronx. Brewers right fielder Sal Frelick went after a foul ball in today's game, made a sliding catch, but may have suffered a hamstring injury in his left leg. Manager Pat Murphy says he'll undergo an MRI. The All-Star game is Tuesday. The Brewers' Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski will represent the crew. The baseball draft getting underway tonight. The Brewers with the 20th overall pick. NBA, the Bucks reportedly will sign. Guard Cole Anthony was receiving a buyout from the Memphis Grizzlies. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you thought it was hard to cancel a streaming subscription before, brace yourselves, because it's about to get even more difficult. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Federal Trade Commission's click-to-cancel option has been struck down by a federal appeals court. The FTC has tried to make it equally as easy to cancel a subscription as it is to sign up, so expect much more frustration. The whole issue started with Amazon, which was accused of tricking customers into signing up for Prime, then making it extremely difficult to cancel. I guess we know how Bezos paid for that wedding. Here's a Hollywood beat just for me. I hope you like it too. The show Bosch is coming back by way of another spinoff. Ballard will drop on Amazon Prime like Bosch and Bosch Legacy did previously, both of which are now kaput. Maggie Q will play Renee Ballard. Titus Welliver will return as Harry Bosch, who will assist Ballard with cold cases from time to time. All 10 episodes of Ballard dropped a couple days ago and are available on Prime. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy tonight, lows in the low 60s. Mostly sunny, upper 80s on your Monday. The heat index pushes over 90. For Monday night, mostly clear, a low around 68. Sunshine, upper 80s on your Tuesday. Some showers and thunderstorms by Tuesday night.
Currently 69 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. And happy Friday afternoon to you. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're doing this Friday afternoon's installment of Ask Maggie. Feels like we've been on hiatus for quite some time. And to kick off this next segment, I'm actually going to ask Jamie something. Do you think we're going to have a Cash Patel, Dan Bongino resignation before we reconvene here on Monday on the Maggie Dawn Show?
Now, I will say that reporters are trying to parse this out as I watch everything that's going on this afternoon. But it also looks like there is a potential that the White House may force out Bondi before they lose Patel and Bongino. Now, again, they're trying to parse that out, seeing if that there is any reality to those claims as of right now, because obviously there are a few people who are really unhappy. But a person who has spoken with the deputy FBI director says that Bongino is out of control, furious. This whole non-release of the Epstein files completely destroyed his career, and that he's threatening to quit and torch Pam unless she's fired. And there's also reports that Bongino is telling the administration that it's either him or Bondi at this point. I think Cash Patel is probably just sitting back and watching what's happening, if it's true that he also may step out because of the Epstein files. So
it's
we
Dan
shall see,
Bongino is such a incredible actor, and I mean that in all senses of the word, meaning the man's not credible, and what's been going on is incredible, hard to believe. This guy is a complete crackpot. He has major temper control issues. He's about as ill-suited to be deputy director of the FBI as a fish is to ride a bicycle. I don't understand this. If I was Donald Trump, right, what's the calculus here? Because you've got Pam Bondi. I think he may be harder pressed to find someone to become attorney general and get through a confirmation process. But man, if Cash and or Bongino are gone, I say good riddance. To me, those two are scarier actors than is Pam Bondi.
And
I just think it's because of the unhingedness. It's because of they're also not even constrained by the de minimis lawyer ethics rules that Pam Bondi is. Speaking of which, there has been a lawyer's ethics complaint filed against Pam Bondi in the state of Florida. So that'll take some time to proceed. But these guys, their ability to lie and make stuff up knows no bounds. None at all.
It's amazing that podcasters turned, FBI directors are having a difficult time.
Who would have thought? Hard to predict when you've had absolutely nothing to We've digressed off the Ask Maggie topic, but just with this additional breaking news.
These are important things that we're going to be watching over the weekend, because by Monday, this could be a completely different situation in the Trump administration. We have no idea. I mean, we've seen these little skirmishes in Trump version one. It's not so much so far in version two. We haven't seen a lot of that.
Because of the people with any integrity refuse to have anything to do with them. So there's no one to stand up for anybody else. But it's coming to a head with the Epstein thing. I always wondered why the MAGAverse was so into Jeffrey Epstein and this entire weird line. It's like, this isn't just a Democratic problem or a Democratic Party problem. Donald Trump, there are hundreds, perhaps thousands of pictures of Donald Trump over the course of 20 plus years with Jeff Epstein. He was on his plane probably about as much as anybody else was, if not more. They hung out together. They were friends. Now Donald Trump acts like, I have no idea who Jeff who. His typical response. I mean, is anybody really surprised that the attorney general under Donald Trump's direction and thumb is saying there's no there when it comes to the Epstein files? Of course.
No.
From a reputational perspective, Bongino's whole angle was, I know all about Epstein and this is really bad. Well, the problem when you just make stuff up all the time, Dan, is that you might also be torturing your future boss. Nobody knows exactly what the relationship between Donald Trump and Jeff Epstein was, but fact, is there a picture with Donald Trump and a bunch of young women and Jeff Epstein? Yeah.
And Jeff Epstein on tape calling Donald Trump one of his closest friends for decades, right? So we have all of that. That is proof. And
they
have
financial dealings together. I mean, this is not at all new news. And again, I always wondered, like, what's your long game to the Bonginos and all these folks pounding the table for the Epstein files when Donald Trump has this well-documented history of being very close with Jeff Epstein? And the biggest thing that you know, Pam Bondi saying, there's nothing in the Epstein files, don't worry about it. It's just child porn. Part of that problem is that, you know, in certain corners of the internet, the video footage from Jeffrey Epstein's alleged suicide in Rikers Island is missing minutes, like the relevant minutes. Now, Pam Bondi this week at a cabinet meeting told reporters, oh, that's because the videotape, the system is old and it resets every day at around this time. We're looking to find the similar minutes that are missing it. Pam, are you really expecting people to believe?
Actually, I think she is.
Yeah, in that she is. In the coinky dink of coinky dinks, that the old timey video recording equipment just happens to go off at the 2 minutes during which Epstein is alleged to have hung himself. I mean, that's just a bridge too far. Again, some corners of the internet this afternoon alleging that metadata from those electronic recordings shows that it was stitched together, that there actually wasn't some initial recording problem, that it was edited after the fact. I mean, my goodness, Jamie, this is like, get your popcorn. If you didn't know what you were doing this weekend, just grab your popcorn and tune in to your favorite 24/7 newscast, because this is going to be an interesting one to spin.
This is better than anything you're going to find on Netflix this summer, just in case anybody's wondering.
No kidding. Thanks to Jacob running the board for me this afternoon. We've got a tornado watch in Kenosha County. Again, a tornado watch in Kenosha County. We've had some severe weather in many spots across the state this afternoon. Folks, please be aware, be safe. Don't take any risks while you're out there. We got one of our longtime listeners on the line, Carmelo from Milwaukee. Say hi to Jamie. How are you, my friend?
I'm very well. Hi, Jamie. Hi, Maggie.
Hi, how are you?
Hey.
Very well. I wanted to ask, kind of along the vein of what you were talking about with Patel and Bondi, Maggie, you had admitted that, you know, maybe you've heard like an employee or someone under you speaking ill of you or whatever. Mm-hmm. Have you ever like like held on to a personal little, like maybe like a sneer, like every time you had to deal with them.
Yeah, this is a great question, Carmela, because I have always tried, especially when I grew into leadership positions, I tried very hard to not take that kind of stuff personally and try to find the kernel of what I thought was an accurate, if poorly packaged, criticism. Like, hey, what's my opportunity to do a little better here? I do not hold grudges. I don't forget stuff. I mean, I will remember, if I'm being really honest, I remember folks that back-channeled things or didn't come to me directly and just straight up tell me to my face, I disagree, I think you're totally off base, or I need you to do more of this or less of this. Because I would rather someone do that than sort of whisper campaign and going around my back. But even folks, if they held an objection to my decision making or whatever it was as a leader of a department, if they felt that in good faith and they brought that in whatever way to light, my opportunity as a leader is in that moment to humbly try to take from that. What is the thing that I should be doing better? I might not agree with the entirety of the criticism, but usually there's something in there that is worthy of my deep self-reflection and, frankly, a commitment to try to do a little better. To me, those are the opportunities where leaders actually can show some leadership and to try to do better. And again, not taking all this stuff personally. It's hard if someone's criticizing you, if it's hard if somebody's talking behind your back. But though that's the difference between children and adults, that adults care about the thing that we're doing, our shared purpose, our mission. Adults care about the results and the outcomes, and they will work past their personal feelings or, frankly, set them aside where appropriate, to ensure that the mission of the organization and what you're doing is and always remains front and center. I can tell you this, that is so vastly more important in the public sector than anybody could ever imagine. If you can envision my intolerance for people making it about themselves, of elevating their self-interest over an entity's mission or objective in general life, you can only imagine how ticked off I would get if people wanted to make the business of public service about them instead of the public. You're a civil servant. You are a public servant, meaning you serve. You don't center yourself. And I think it's high time that elected officials, especially in the Donald Trump and folks from the MAGA movement, remind themselves that they are there to serve others and not to have others serve them and their individual personal interests. I think, again, ego and self-interest, it can explain, unfortunately, vast swaths of what we see going wrong these days with MAGA and elected officials writ large. Jamie, I know you've led teams. What are your thoughts on taking and receiving criticism or hearing back-channeled whispering negativities about folks?
You know this about me. I don't do the back channel. That is not something that I would rather be direct. I would rather be honest. I would rather have those conversations and work it out and go from there. We've owned our own business. I've never done public service. That's not where I've always ever been, but we've owned our own business and a very small business. And so being able to, I want to say, put out maybe those fires. And when I mean fires, you know, just the smoke that starts to arise a little bit. I think that's, for us, was always incredibly important. We had such a small staff that we couldn't risk having anybody with any sort of angst or any sort of anger or anybody who was upset, because we were trying to make small town radio happen at warp speed. And you have to have everybody on the same page to do that. And we were always just very, my husband and I, let's just be honest with one another. If we did something to upset you, please tell us. We would rather know that than everybody just pins and needles. I don't do that.
Nobody
I
wants
get very
to do
awkward
it.
And uncomfortable in that.
I'll say this one last thing on this general point. I think there is so much to be gained when someone is willing to hear that kind of direct criticism or even indirectly. And what everybody that has ever worked with me or for me knows is I will show up for that I will be here through that. I'll be here after that because the thing, the mission is more important than I am. Folks, when we come back, we're going to turn the page and do a little bit of what's good, local, and overlooked with one of our favorite guests on the Maggie Dawn Show, my friend and yours, Terry Barr. Don't miss it. Keep it locked.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wiss.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Friday. We've finally gotten there. Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got one of my most favorite segments of every week. We've been on kind of a hiatus, so it's really nice to get back on the saddle again with my friend and yours, Terry Barr, for What's Good, Local, and Overlooked in Wisconsin. Welcome back, Terry.
Hey, Maggie. Sorry I had to go to the phone with this. Obviously, we have some thunderstorm warnings across the various areas of the state. And I was so excited because on our video stream, I was going to show you I'm wearing my Bob Uecker microphone shirt because I saw you have your Brewers shirt on for tonight.
Oh, thanks so much, Terry. I'm geared up for this game. We got the Cubs facing off against the Yankees. Brewers got the Nationals. We gave away some tickets for Sunday's game on the show earlier. So, yeah, I'm really excited. Brewers only two games back. Hopefully by Sunday we'll sit atop the division. I appreciate the love on the Bob Uecker Mike shirt as well. That's always good fun. I love me some Uecker merch.
Oh, me too. I proudly wear this. You know, I'm going to get into what I think is a good story, maybe a little overlooked, especially to people in Wisconsin. And since life seems to be a bit of a circus these days, it feels like talking about Wisconsin's circus history is perfect right now. So Circus World, as many people probably know, is on the 64-acre property in Baraboo, and it was once home to the Ringling Brothers Circus. No kidding. It was an luckily remains in Wisconsin. Now, it really is a surprising, important part of our state's history. And here's the museum's curator of history telling me more. Her name is Jennifer Kronk.
Our museum is located in the original winter quarters of the Ringling Brothers Circus. Ringling Brothers started their circus out of Baraboo in the 1880s because these brothers were living here in Baraboo when they got it in their heads that they wanted to start a circus. You know, some of them had done some performing. They started a circus, and beginning in 1886, they decided, well, we need a place to come back and, you know, work on our show every year, because circuses would go out in the spring. They would travel all summer long into the fall. And then come winter time, they would go back to a home base to paint the wagons and work on what the show was going to be the next year and stuff like that. And so the Ringlings did that in Baraboo along the Baraboo River. And they were here until 1918. They built dozens of buildings during that time. So they would come back here, and this is where they housed their elephants and their horses in the 1890s, early 1900s. People could look out their window and see the elephants taking a walk down the street.
Isn't that fun?
Elephants walking down the street. Boy, that'd be the day.
Absolutely.
Although I did see a loose cow the other day in a very unusual place. It was in like a subdivision, and I'm driving around. I'm like, is there like an Amber Alert for your lost cow? I don't know. What do you do with that? I didn't see any brand. I didn't know what to do about that. It's not really an animal control thing, is it? Who knows?
No. Well, you know, and I grew up on a dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, and I just remember if there were any cows loose, everybody showed up to chase them home. So I don't know what you would do if one was in a subdivision somewhere. But I wanted to tell you one really cool thing at the Circus Museum right now in Baraboo. They have on display the only circus bell wagon that is left in the entire world. It is at the museum. You can see it. It's a piece of art. It is gorgeous, and it has all these huge bells. And these are the kind of wagons that used to lead the circus parade through towns when they used to do it. It is just gorgeous, and it's hard to think that's the only one left. So
yeah, that's,
if you're interested in it, go see it. Go check it out while it's still here. There's also a library. I love this. And a circus research center on the property if you really want to dig into the history of the circus, not only in Wisconsin, but around the world.
So one of my most treasured childhood memories was,
ooh,
I was quite young. If it's been a while since the literal circus parade came through downtown Milwaukee, but I went with my parents a few years in a row, and it's sort of like hearkening back to that time. Back then, there was very few people who were talking about, I don't know, the political challenge of talking about circuses and treatment of animals.
Right.
It was just my child brain looking at all these amazing animals and all these amazing train cars and moving cars and all these beautiful decorations. And I just remember being like so excited to go watch the circus parade. And the couple of times that I actually saw a circus when I was a kid, it was magical. And I think, again, that circus parade museum in Baraboo, Terry?
Mm-hmm. It is in Baraboo on the old property where the Ringling Brothers actually used to set up and perform and then take off for the entire summer across the country. Amazing history here.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Jim from Brookfield shares this wonderment with me. Why would anyone ever put their circus base in a cold weather climate? Didn't the elephants get cold? Who knows? Happy weekend to you, Terry, and happy weekend to each and every one of you. Thanks for sharing some of your Friday with me. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
This is WISS Berlin Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. Investigators are trying to piece together what led to a mass shooting at a church service in Lexington, Kentucky. A suspect allegedly pulled a gun on a state trooper during a traffic stop, then stole another car and drove to the Richmond Road Baptist Church, where he killed two people. ABC's Allison Kosick has more.
So far, police have no motive for the shooting. An official briefed on the investigation told ABC News the suspect had a history of mental health, drug, and anger issues. The official added that the man had a domestic situation with an ex-girlfriend who then filed protection orders against him. Police say the suspect may have had a connection to the people at Richmond Road Church.
Fires continue to burn around the Grand Canyon. The White Sage Fire, in particular, doubled in size this weekend, consuming now more than 40,000 acres. And President Trump is prepping a major announcement regarding Russia's war in Ukraine, and he's signaling he'll grant Ukraine's request for more weapons. This is ABC News. Mexico's got